Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, your word is so critical. It is critical and has been critical in every age. But it has never been more critical than it is today in the final hours of this world. And we pray that you would help us to see the critical nature of the message that's here, that we might allow you to speak to our hearts, those who are saved and those who are lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several messages in July, and at least at the beginning of this month, we looked at the LGBTQ movement. And what we've seen is, in studying that movement, is the absolute perfection of the Word of God. The absolute accuracy of the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 17, where he said that likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And what we've seen is that we are living in the days of Lot. There is no question or doubt about that. A number of years ago, there was a talk show host on WPTF in Raleigh. And during the Obama administration, as it is in this one, the O'Biden administration, guns were demonized. And every time there was a shooting that made the news, excluding, of course, the city of Chicago, where they happen every weekend, 82 people shot, 14 fatally over the July the 4th weekend, 58 over the weekend of August the 7th, including 9 that died, 45 August 14th, 7 died. But of course, those don't qualify as mass shootings, don't seem to raise any flags in the Democrat media. But what this talk show host did every day, to counter the political and media frenzy was to report a story where a man or a woman with a gun had saved the life of another person, to demonstrate that guns were not the evil. They weren't the root of the problem in America. The issue, as it has always been, is whose hand the gun is in. And I mention that because I guess that's what I'm doing to some degree by giving you a story every week. And they have to be chosen because there are so many of them. Stories that show us the advances and the inroads and the power that the LGBTQ movement has in this country. This morning, the story comes from an August 8th ABC News 7 in Arlington, Virginia. In several school districts in Virginia, teachers are strictly prohibited from informing parents of their kids' sexual orientation and gender identity without the students' permission. And the teachers had to attend a class about this. For instance, if a Fairfax County or Loudoun County student identifies as transgender at school, teachers aren't allowed to tell the student's parents unless the student says it's okay. A Loudoun County Public Schools spokesperson said Regulation 8040 says that staff shall follow and adhere to legal standards of confidentiality relating to information about a student's gender identity, transgender status, legal name, or sex assigned at birth. Staff must support student privacy and safety and not disclose a student's gender identity or transgender status to other students or other parents. A student's gender identity or transgender status should not be shared without the student's consent, even internally among school personnel, except to those with a legitimate educational interest or need to know. This is the government, the educational bureaucracy, usurping and putting themselves in the place of God's order, which is the parents. The point of these stories is to try to underscore in our minds that we are living in the days of Lot. And that needs to be underscored because it means that the Lord Jesus is about to be revealed. First to his people in the air, and then 7 years later to all the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we want to think this morning. In this chapter, Paul is talking about the coming of the Antichrist. Look at verse 3, if you will. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Notice the words, "that man of sin, the son of perdition." That's the Antichrist, who's going to come on the scene after the church, after those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The context, the setting here, and we want to be sure we get this, is the 7 year tribulation period. That's confirmed in verse 4. Where Paul says of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is an amazing book, the Bible is. What the Lord is showing us here in these two verses is the order of the tribulation, if you will. In verse 3, Paul talks about the Antichrist being revealed. That happens when after God removes his people. That happens at the beginning of the tribulation. This man of peace will come. He'll come on the scene. And as Daniel 9 and verse 27 tells us, he's going to make a covenant with Israel for 1 week. 1 week of years, 7 years. And that covenant will be made when that man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. And so that's verse 3 here. But then we come to verse 4 that we just read. That's going to happen in the midst of the week, in the midst of the 7 years. I'm not going to ask you to turn back to it, but again, in Daniel 9 and verse 27, we read, "He shall confirm that he is the Antichrist," that man of sin, the son of perdition. "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." 1 week. That's when the Antichrist is revealed. The beginning of the tribulation, that's 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." That's 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. Because the reason that the Antichrist is going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease is because He, as God, is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is going to be worshiped. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 15 that this is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This is the Antichrist standing in the holy place. And so this is what Paul is describing in verse 4. So in verse 3, we can say that we have the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then in verse 4, we have the great tribulation. That's what the Lord Jesus referred to it as. The final 3.5 years of this 7-year period. And so the time setting here is very important for us to know and to keep in mind. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Ye know what withholdeth, that he," that is the Antichrist, "might be revealed in his time." So verse 6 tells us something that is very, very important. Verse 6 tells us that the Antichrist is being withheld. He's being withheld. Something is withholding him. Now, look at verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Paul talks in this verse about the mystery of iniquity that is already at work when he wrote these words. It began, the mystery of iniquity began working in heaven when Lucifer, son of the morning, led a revolt against God. When he said in his heart that I am going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. When he said in his heart that I will be like the Most High. And the whole purpose of the mystery of iniquity, the whole working of it is to anoint Satan as God. And that's exactly, he's going to get his wish in the middle of the tribulation when he breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel. When he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's been his goal. That's what he's been working toward. And he's going to have that moment in the sun, so to speak, if you will. This mystery of iniquity has been working in the world, began in heaven. It's been working in the world since Lucifer was cast out of heaven. And the serpent, as Brother Jim was talking about Wednesday night, said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Since the serpent said to Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." The mystery of iniquity has been working in the world since Eve, deceived by the serpent, and in rebellion against God, took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And Adam, in rebellion against God, not in deception, Adam was not deceived, but in rebellion against God, he did eat. And since that moment, the mystery of iniquity has been working here in the world, but it has been withheld. That's what verse 6 says. And it further says, "Now ye know what withholdeth." We're supposed to know. Well, do we? Do we know what's withholding it? Well, Paul's going to tell us in verse 7. Look. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the world, taken out of the way. Now there are two words here that are important to see. The first one is the word he. He. The what. In verse 6, ye know what withholdeth. Well, the what that withholdeth in verse 6, Paul tells us, is a he in verse 7. And the he is the Spirit of God. The other important word is the word letteth. It's not a word that we use. What does it mean? Well, as is so often the case, when we come across a word that we may not really know the meaning of in the Scriptures, if we just look, we'll find the meaning of the word right in the passage that we're in. And that's the case here. The word withholdeth. The word withholdeth is the definition of the word letteth. If you need your Strong's Concordance in this case, and you look it up, then you'll find that word withholdeth in verse 6 is the exact same word as the word letteth in verse 7. And so that word letteth means to withhold. He is withholding, and he will withhold. How long? Until he be taken out of the way. So, if you do happen to look up that word, you'll find the full extent of the meaning. It means to restrain, to obstruct. It means to hinder the course or progress of something. So what we learn here is something about the ministry of the Spirit of God. The ministry of the Spirit of God here in the world. His ministry is to withhold. His ministry is to hold back, to restrain, to obstruct, to hinder the course, to hinder the progress of the working of iniquity here in the world. Now, I want you to keep your place here, if you will, and turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. The Lord Jesus says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, verse 8. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The word "world" there means the inhabitants of the earth. It means mankind, so it means everyone. When he has come, he's going to reprove the world. He's going to reprove mankind, every person, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is how the Spirit of God holds back and restrains and obstructs. This is how he hinders the course and the progress of the working of iniquity here in the world, by reproving men and women and young people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that has a restraining effect on people, saved and lost. We ought to thank the Lord for it. It's the reason that this world is not more of a jungle than it is. And so in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we learn that the restraint, and I would say the only restraint on the iniquity of man, the only restraint on every imagination of the thoughts of his heart that is only evil continually, has been and is the Spirit of God. But what we want to understand this morning is that that restraint has a limit. That restraint has a limit. In the days of Noah, and the Lord Jesus compared the days of His coming again to the days of Noah. He did that in Luke chapter 17, where He talked about the days of Lot. And so we're living in those days as well. And in the days of Noah, God said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There would be a time in the days of Noah when God's spirit would no longer strive with man. "For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The Lord tells us the time period. The restraint of the Spirit of God in the days of Noah, before the judgment of God was poured out, had an end. It had an end. It was going to last for 120 years, and then His striving with man would end. The striving of God's Spirit in the days of Lot certainly had a limit. How long had the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah gone up before the Lord? Well, in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord, in His conversation with Abraham, talks about the wickedness of Sodom. And He's going to go down there and see if the cry of it is as He has heard it. And if not, He would know. In Genesis 13 and verse 13, 13 in the Bible being the number of rebellion, "The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Now, that verse would have been about 25 years earlier, based on Abram's age in Genesis chapter 18. But if you go back to the first mention of Sodom, in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 19, as being part of the Canaanite nations, then we would be looking at as many as 200 or 300 years. So we don't know how long the striving of the Spirit of God was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we do know He strove with those people. And we know that because during this time period, God's Spirit, particularly in Genesis chapter 14, when He sent Abram to deliver Lot, and in delivering Lot, Abram delivered the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the kings of the cities of the plain from the bondage that they had been in for 13 years. I suggest to you that is striving with those people. But there was no change. There was no turning from their sin. There was only a return to their sin. Remember, the king of Sodom told Abram, "Give me the people. Give me the people. You take the goods. The people is what I want." And so there came that day that the striving of God's Spirit in the days of Lot came to an end. And I believe that the striving of the Spirit of God in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, in which we are living today, has a limit. It has a limit. I want you to hold your place here in John chapter 16. And let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verse 7 again. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he," that is the Spirit of God, "who now letteth, only he who is withholding will withhold until he be taken out of the way." This is what he's describing here in verse 7. Is "my spirit shall not always strive with man." And the manifestation of God's Spirit, not always striving with man, will be that he is going to be taken out of the way. I want us to think about that in two ways. There's going to be an ultimate time when he's going to be taken out of the way completely. But I believe that there is a time, and I believe that we are living in that time, when he is going to begin to withdraw himself. Because his reproving of sin and of righteousness and of judgment has been rejected. Because that when they knew God, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Listen, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. The Spirit of God and his influence, his striving with man, his holding back and restraining and obstructing and hindering the course and the progress of the working of iniquity, I believe that we're seeing it being withdrawn. And what we see right now is that the earth is corrupt before God. All flesh has corrupted his way upon the earth. What we see is the manifestation, man putting into practice every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, which is only evil continually. What we see is the earth filled with violence. We just mentioned Chicago, but you don't have to go to Chicago to see it. I had to chuckle. I believe it was last Monday, NC State took back in their students' game. There's these two guys, and all of a sudden a guy comes up to them. He wants to steal their car, carjack them. And they backed away. He jumped into it. Guess what? It was a clutch. He couldn't drive it. And so he gets out of the car, and I'm not going to ask you how many of you can drive clutch. But there's probably some of you young people here. Got no clue how to do it. I figured it out when my mom and dad were trying to teach me. I told mom, I said, look, I'm just going to keep the clutch in. Yeah. That way I won't have to let it out, and that way we won't be hopping down the road anymore. I'll just leave it in. But anyway, then he decides, okay, if we can't, I can't have your car, we're going to rob you. And he robbed him. Shooting. They thought there was a shooting at Crabtree Valley Mall yesterday. Shooting outside the food court. In Cross Creek Mall in Fayetteville. Just turn on the news and listen, folks. The earth is filled with violence. All of these things, as it was in the days of Noah. What we see in the days of Lot, we're living in them. What we see is man being given over by God to vile affections. What we see is even women changing the natural use into that which is against nature. What we see is men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat, AIDS, monkeypox. What we see is women wearing that which pertaineth unto a man. In other words, women identifying as men. And men putting on women's garments. Men identifying as women. What we see is same-sex marriage. All of this as it was in the days of Lot. And notice in verse 11 here of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Another indication of what happens when the Spirit of God is, when His influence, when his withholding, when his restraining is reduced. There's coming a day when it's going to be complete. We're just living in a day when it's reduced. Look at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they should believe a lie. I want you to see something. If you kept your place in John chapter 16, turn back there and look at verse 12. The Lord Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I want to call your attention to how the Lord Jesus refers to the Spirit of God here. The Spirit of God, His Spirit that He's going to send into the world. He refers to Him in verse 13 as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Another verse Brother Jim mentioned Wednesday night, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the truth. And when He is rejected, when He is quenched, when He is blasphemed, then His striving with men begins to cease. And His striving and holding back and restraining and obstructing and hindering the course and the progress of the working of iniquity begins to decrease. It begins to be less and less as He's eventually going to be taken out of the way. And what you get is 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. Let's go back there and read it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What is the one word, I believe, that characterizes this day? It's the word lie. Lie. It's a man sitting in the Oval Office who will look into the camera and say, I did not know that Donald Trump's place, Mar-a-Lago, was going to be raided by the FBI. That is a lie, folks. That's a lie. When those kind of things happen, they have to be approved at the top. We have a man in the Oval Office who will look into the camera and say, I'm reducing the deficit. Inflation is whipped. Those are lies. And the media, Biden will lie and the media will swear to it. That's the age that we're living in. You can write lie over it. When the influence of the Spirit of God begins to be less and less in the world, what you get are people believing the lie that abortion's not murder. It's just a woman exercising her choice over her body. What you get is people believing the lie that homosexuality is normal, it's right. What you get are people believing the lie that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. What you get are people believing the lie that gender can be fluid. Changing it, it's fine. If a man wants to identify today as he wants to identify as a woman and use the woman's bathroom and vice versa, that's fine. I'll tell you how foolish this country has become. I was reading an article the other day about a man who identified as a woman. He was going to prison. He demanded to be put in the woman's prison in New Jersey. Well, guess what those geniuses did? They put him in there. And now what have they got? They got two expectant mothers on their hands. Two. That they know of. What you get, and I would just modify what William J.H. Boddicker said, is people who believe the lie that you can have prosperity by discouraging thrift, that you can strengthen the weak by weakening the strong, that you can help little men by tearing down big men, that you can lift the wage earner by tearing down the wage payer, the lie that you can help the poor by destroying the rich, that you can have financial security on borrowed money, the lie that you can promote national unity by inciting class hatred, the lie that you can build character by destroying men's initiative and independence, the lie that you can help men permanently by doing for them what they can and should do for themselves, the lie that you can maintain a sovereign nation without maintaining its borders. What you get is the lie of climate change, the lie that solar and wind can replace fossil fuels. What you get are lies dressed up as legislation, like the Respect for Marriage Act, which is really the Disrespect and Destruction of Marriage Act. And speaking of lies dressed up as legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act is exactly the opposite. It's the Inflation Increasing Act. What you get when you put all this together is the United States of America. In the days of Noah, and in the days of Lot. Folks, we're watching the Spirit of God, His influence in the world, being withdrawn. We're watching His striving with men, His withholding of evil becoming less and less. And therefore, iniquity is abounding. And men and women and young people are believing a lie. And evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And His full and final removal will come in the tribulation, when that wicked, as we see in verse 8, is revealed. That wicked, the Antichrist, that man of sin, the son of perdition, who's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. He's going to come on the scene after the Lord Jesus comes to the air and takes his people out of this world. Can't emphasize that enough. But the point is this. When we can see the conditions that will exist in the tribulation, when these things begin to come to pass and we can see them, then the Lord Jesus says that we're to look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. That's why we're talking about these things, because the Lord Jesus is about to come. That's why if the Spirit of God is striving with you today, if He's reproving you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because what is true of mankind, what was true of mankind back in Genesis chapter 6, is true of each individual man and woman and young person. God says to you and to me, my spirit will not always strive with man. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's why if you're lost, God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Right now, right where you are, you need to turn to the Lord Jesus from your sin and ask Him to save your soul. Before it is said of you, what we read in Hebrews chapter 6, that it is impossible to renew you again to repentance. You've been striven with and striven with and striven with, and you've heard the truth and heard the truth. And you've rejected it. And you've crossed the impossible line. It's impossible to renew you to repentance because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Before it's said of you, as we see in verse 12, that you're damned because you believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If we know the Lord today, it's high time to awake out of sleep, Paul said. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day star is about to arise. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, that we might not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Our Father, we thank You for allowing us today to look into Your Word. You've allowed us another opportunity on this side of eternity to consider these things, to consider the lateness of the hour, for anyone who is here who's lost today, to consider the peril of their soul, the peril that it is to continue to reject the truth of the Word of God when the truth is all around them. We pray that You would speak to them today. And Father, speak to those who know You. The truth of the lateness of the hour is all around Your people. And we pray that we would live in the light of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.